Yeah? Okay, so can you tell me who you are, why you've come here today, and why you're here for the weekend, and why, more importantly, you're still here after the burnout rate of a lot of people sort of leaving, and why are you still here? What's your pitch, and what is it that you're hoping to build?
My name is Nina, and I'm an educator. I spent several years at school, but now I run my own online business. And I came here for a challenge to develop new products, to meet different people from different backgrounds, to learn from them, and to see how we can move education forward, because there is a lot of room for innovation currently, and I can see that there is room for a lot of new products, and I would like to make whatever I can to make sure that those products will be ready as soon as possible.
So can you tell me about your product and the target audience and what you're working towards?
Our product is a content editor, interactive content editor. We notice a gap in the market, lack of a interactive content editor. And we decided to create a product that would be web-based and usable across various modern platforms. And the greatest advantage of this platform is it going to be very user-friendly and accessible to teachers with non-technical skills. So they would be able just to log in and, using simple drag-and-drop facilities, create nice, interactive, non-linear content.
Okay, that's quite interesting, because I'm just trying to think how to sort of push that out to teachers, because when you say content editor, it's a bit generic. I'm thinking of similar products, and I don't know if I'm right here, things like Etherpad. Do you know Etherpad? Which is a highly dynamic word processor where four people can, or more, 16 people can type at the same time. They've got different colored names, and they can actually all type in real time on a page, something like that. So what is your product? How is it different to that?
Well, the first way in which it's different is it's to encourage a single resource creator who has a single topic or lesson that they want to focus on, and enable them to actually create an interactivity that would help support the learning and understanding of that activity and that lesson.
Right. So is it specifically for the teacher then, as opposed to the students?
Yes, it's specifically for the educator. I mean, teachers, you know, you automatically associate school. We feel that this is a greater need, that, you know, CPD developers and in-house enterprise training people would be able to use and develop resources with this product.
Okay, so I'm trying to get to the nub of what it is. I'll give you a few exemplars, right, that are already out there. Something like MindMeister. Do you know MindMeister? Which is a mind map, highly dynamic mind map creation on the fly, which links to different resources around the web. How does it differ from that?
The idea is that it's an obstructive platform where, without achieving particular objectives through the interactivity, which are based on simple logic defined by the lesson creator, the learner, if you like, will not actually be able to progress to the end point. Because it's non-linear and dynamic, it would actually have multiple possible endpoints that would then reflect and demonstrate their understanding or lack of understanding to the educator, who could then target and focus and streamline the education to that particular user to explain to them either in the lesson, in the dynamic interactivity, or, you know, in additional tutelage or encouragement to learn particular subjects or topics.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to get to the nub of, because I am an educator, I've been educating for 25 years, is what is it? Is it an outliner? How does it work in practice? Because so far, if you're trying to get over to the teaching market, or maybe the wider market, what are the specifics of this that actually are of use to the educator, let's say within science? Let's take a practical, concrete example within a science lesson. How would you use it as a science teacher?
I guess as a science teacher, the product itself basically acts as a dynamic slideshow, so that when the user is playing the slideshow, they would then be presented with small challenges or interactions that they would be required based on the content. This would all be designed by the teacher from the outset. In a science context, what this could possibly mean is to say, have handful of slides on how ice melts and the changing states of water. And then an interactivity in the middle could be, which are the states of water? What's the first state, second state, third state? When the user assembles them into what they think is an order that is appropriate, the dynamic logic would then either instruct them that they're incorrect or correct. Then from that, if they were correct, they could go, well, what are the uses of steam? Taking that further forward, you know, it could go on and say, what are the problems with the greenhouse effect and the ice melting?
Okay, so is it in the first instance, it's a linear narrative model in terms of a slideshow. Am I getting that right? Is that, no?
No, it's non-linear. It's very much a case of if the learner obviously demonstrates greater, more advanced and deeper knowledge of the subject, it would enable them to sort of circumvent the linear lesson plan, if you like, because it's designed so that basically the learner's ability is taken into account when representing the information. So although it would be in its essential essence, you could use it as a presentation to create a linear flow of information based on responses to interactive moments, the learner themselves would actually be able to skip ahead to sections where the teaching and the information would be irrelevant to them because they clearly understand the topic and clearly understand the motivation behind the learning objectives.
Okay, so I'm still trying to get my head around it. In terms of an interface, what is it going to be on and what will it look like? How will you first enter the application?
Well, it depends. There are two sides of it, obviously. There's an editor for constructing lessons, which the teacher or educator would use to formulate basically slides, which would be rich media that you could inject video, images and sound into. Then they would apply simple sort of widgets to each of these slides, which either do or don't require an interaction. Simply the interaction could be at the lightest, you know, click to go on to the next slide. And the most in-depth could be a highly complicated game mechanism that would require particular objectives to be achieved before progression. And depending on the results, obviously the progression would be to a different part of the slideshow.
Okay, so if looking at, say, things like wireframes, would it be a timeline that you would sort of come along and jump to, or how would you navigate to where you're going to go to?
Yes, I mean, we've got two proposed models for how you could navigate. I mean, obviously, where it's non-linear, the structure is potentially either a linear timeline with jumps to and forth, and we agree that, you know, when you're creating the slides, you will have a linear model of what you expect the learner to achieve. When you realize and go back and realize actually there could be additional steps that the learner might need, they can inject those steps into the dynamic interaction on a parallel timeline that they would then, if the learner needs to, go off, complete the additional steps and then return back to the mainstream timeline.
Yeah, because it sounds it's in all these processes and all these pedagogies. I mean, I'm thinking of the Kahn Foundation thing, where he came unstuck was the fact that he didn't realise, and now they've realised that there has to be a user-generated input. What he did, his theories, his ways of teaching, which he put down in that model, in those videos, aren't necessarily five other people's in the classroom or in a distributed model. They won't do it the same way. They'll have different strategies, and they've suddenly begun to realize that you need user-generated breakpoints to be able to co-opt other people's viewpoints and other people's formulations and pedagogies, because they're not just what's in the teacher's head or coming from the teacher. You've got 20 people in the room. They may all have a different take on it. And traditional pedagogies in terms of the media, in terms of new media, and in terms of what I would call networked at a local level in the classroom or in a distributed level, is going to demand more from those different viewpoints. Have you thought about the input from the user-generated side?
Yeah, the whole idea is to have the collaborative mechanism that when a resource has been created, the community would then be able to copy that resource and modify it to suit their particular needs. thus then giving the opportunity for the teacher to educate in the way that they understand best, and also add value to the community and add value to the lessons available within the community that either could be targeted at more basic learners who need more explanation, or focused for more sophisticated learners who would need less.
Right. Have you also thought about the Internet of Things and how objects might interact with devices in terms of learner interaction, and how they could do these things in terms of maybe flip video cameras or specific smartphones or objects in that sense, in terms of that input?
The type of inputs at the moment would have to be relatively restricted. I mean, we're utilising existing libraries and frameworks to navigate through the interactions. Obviously, the catalogue can grow over time. There are endless, well, I say endless, there are many, many ways that, especially with new technologies, people can interact with the technologies. We haven't gone down the lines of either sort of video capture and collaboration or audio capture, speech recognition sort of things. But I mean, these are certainly possibilities for future expansion. We've decided to design on the HTML5, which obviously at the moment is not a standard, but it's heavily adopted. This gives us the capacity to provide multiple devices and to control, to some extent, control the way in which the delivery is kind of achieved on many sort of smart devices and modern internet browsers.
Yeah, because I've seen Popcorn, and I've seen things like that that are being developed in terms of what I call breakpoints or data to be able to be inserted into media or different media. And HTML5 obviously is web native, so therefore it's easier for people to get in as that at that boundary, apart from if you're using IE, which a lot of schools are, which is the problem that might come up. But I think that revolution is going to happen quite soon in terms of people just putting a different browser in. And have you got a name for this project?
We have. At the moment, we've been running with our working title, which is Interaction Made Easy, and we have a website, which is interactionmadeeasy.com.
Wonderful. Okay, so people can go to interactionmadeeasy.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.